and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in the show. Third and final hour on this terrific Tuesday, July 7th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Michigan State University President Kevin Giskevich has rescinded his resignation and wants to stay in East Lansing after all, as opposed to leaving for the presidency of Clemson University. Top MSU officials were notified today of his change of heart, and a majority of the MSU board wants to keep him. His new salary will be $1.5 million, more than the $1.216 million a year Clemson offered him, but actually less than the $2 million the Michigan State University board was authorized to get him to stay. After much thought, countless conversations, and careful consideration, I've decided to remain at Michigan State University and continue serving as your president. When I came to Michigan State, I did so because I believe deeply in the promise of this university and in the people who make it exceptional. Over the past 2 years, that belief has only grown stronger. Every day, I have the privilege of witnessing the remarkable work of our faculty, staff, students, alumni, and supporters. I've seen lives transformed through education, discoveries that improve our world, and a community that continually rises to meet challenges with resilience, compassion, and purpose. Despite having announced on May 27th that I was planning on leaving the green and white for South Carolina, I never gave a final end day. In part because my contract with Michigan State University did not give me an easy out. Well, according to the contract, if Giskevich had broken his contract early, he was required to stay at the job for 6 months unless he had a good reason. The definition, quote, good reason in the contract was defined as being stationed more than 25 miles from a campus, a significant cut in pay, or stripping away his duties, or a material breach of the contract. None of those four definitions applied. Well, Giskevich signaled that he was leaving Michigan State after two trustees raised transparency concerns about Spartan Ventures, the secret fund that was created to pay athletes. Trustees Dennis Denno and Mike Balo said on a podcast that oversight and transparency are non-negotiable. When it comes to the name, image, and likeness of ventures, Spartan Ventures were designed to cover and handle. The president let it be known that he didn't like the two speaking out of school board meetings, to which they allegedly responded something to the effect, "We're elected overseers of this university. We were simply expressing our opinions, and we have First Amendment rights." Deno issued the following statement. "The past few weeks have been a time of reflection for everyone at Michigan State University, and the president's decision is best for MSU." So it's over. He's going to stay. Looks like they kissed and made up, but they gave him a raise. $1.5 million a year to be the president of Michigan State University. Short break. We'll be right back.
Citizens of Northern Michigan, your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experience nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number three. Well, you just heard this story break at the top of the news hour. Federal monitors from the Department of Justice will be deployed in Detroit and other Democratic strongholds prior to and including the upcoming August 4th primary and the November 3rd general election. We applaud the decision to deploy election monitors ahead of Michigan's August primary elections, said Jim Runstedt, state senator and current chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. After years of suspicious activity, lax, very lax election rules repeatedly struck down by courts, and blatant attempts to obscure the counting process, the scrutiny in these areas is both justified and necessary. Starting with Muskegon operation back in 2020, a canvasser working for a voter registration firm dumped an enormous batch, literally thousands, of voter registration applications on the Muskegon City Clerk's office. Many were obviously fraudulent, forged signatures, fake or non-existent addresses, and clear patterns of fabrication. The local Muskegon police investigated the matter. Based on their investigation, they went to the FBI in Washington, D.C. And while officials later insisted no fraudulent votes were ultimately cast from the tainted voter registrations, the scale of the attempted fraud was staggering. There was not a handful of isolated mistakes. This was a coordinated push to flood the rolls in a very key area of our state. I'm going to stop right there. Muskegon County was one of just two counties. Muskegon and Saginaw were the only two counties that Mike Rogers lost against Elisa Slotkin in the 2024 U.S. Senate race, while Donald Trump won both of those counties. Muskegon was a hotbed going all the way back to the 2020 election, where allegedly Biden was our president. Move on down to Detroit, where I was in 2020. Trapped inside because if I stepped out of the counting board area, I would not be allowed back in. Spent an all-nighter down there in Detroit that night. TCF Center, now Huntington Place, formerly Cobo Hall. Pizza boxes, because they fed us pizza. Pizza boxes were taped up on the windows so people that were wanting to come down and take pictures of what was going on inside the counting board would not be allowed to happen. With the threat of us taking pictures inside the counting board to prove and document what was happening, they had Wayne County sheriffs and City of Detroit police officers in the counting board threatening to arrest us if we pulled out our cell phones and took pictures or video. Well, the press release that I got during the break from Jim Runstedt, the chairman of the Republican Party, election integrity should never be a partisan issue. Every eligible voter deserves to know that their ballot will be counted accurately, that election laws will be followed consistently, and that every legal vote would carry the same weight that it was intended to have. Transparency and accountability strengthen public confidence in our elections and ultimately in our constitutional republic. What happened at Detroit's TCF Center on election night 2020 was unacceptable. Republican challengers and observers reported vans arriving early in the morning the next morning with ballots and no mail-in envelopes. Tensions rose. Access was restricted. Election workers and officials covered the windows with pizza boxes, physically blocking the view of the counting process from the public and credentialed observers wanting to come inside and replace the workers that worked all night long. The official explanation was privacy and preventing intimidation. But millions were watching. It looked exactly like what it was. It was an effort to hide the process at the very moment transparency mattered the most. The images of those covered windows became a symbol of everything that was wrong and with how the election was administered in Detroit on election night 2020. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, who's now running for governor, compounded the damage with a steady stream of election guidance rules that courts had to come back later and correct. In December 2025, a court of claims judge struck down her directive that allowed absentee ballots with mismatched identification numbers, the stubs, versus the envelopes, to be counted anyway. The court ruled that there was no statutory authority to tabulate such ballots. If the stubs are removed or they don't match the envelope, you can't count the ballot. But she put out a rule, folks, an administrative rule that said you could. This is not just a minor technical dispute. It goes to the core of whether ballots could be processed when they fail basic verification requirements. Folks, when you go to vote in person, your stub is still attached to your ballot until after you vote on it, cover it up with your privacy folder, and put it into the tabulator. A person at the tabulator table folds your stub back and forth and tears it off and keeps it in chronological order based on when you voted in person. Why is that not part of the process when it comes to absentee ballots? Because of Benson. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, in her administrative rules for this election, she's running for governor and is again trying to force stubs that are missing or mismatched the envelope to still be counted, doing it again for this 2026 election. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, gubernatorial candidate, has faced repeated legal challenges and reversals or sharp rebukes of her rules, handling poll challengers, signature handling, stubs, and other rules that appear designed to prioritize access and volume over ironclad verification. Runstead continues, this pattern is unmistakable. We have a Democratic election chief pushing expansive, low scrutiny interpretations that judges have had to rein in. But yet she's doing it again this year. That record alone justifies skepticisms about how elections are being run under her watch. Well, Democrats now complain that federal monitors in Detroit and other cities will, quote, depress turnout or represent some coordinated suppression effort. That rings hollow. These are the same jurisdictions and the same officials whose actions and rules created the crisis of confidence in the first place. When you cover up windows, when you green light questionable registrations and you issue rules and guidance that courts later reject, You do not get to cry foul when the federal government decides to watch. Donald Trump's administration and his DOJ, Department of Justice, is doing what responsible leadership requires, verifying that federal elections. And why are they federal this year? We have a U.S. senator running. Other than that, it's all statewide. But we have a U.S. federal U.S. election. And therefore, these high-risk areas are going to be administered lawfully. Michigan voters, Republicans, Democrat, and Independent, deserve elections where legal votes are counted and illegal ones are not. With full chain of custody, transparency, and real-time observation. That means strict voter ID, paper ballots with audible trails, aggressive voter roll maintenance, and zero tolerance of the kind of games we saw in Muskegon and Detroit. This August 4th primary is just weeks away. The monitors are a start. But real reform cannot stop there. We will continue fighting for the structural changes needed to restore trust. Ironclad verification at every step. Severe penalties for fraud attempts, and an attempt to the culture of secrecy and rule bending that has defined way too much of our recent election administration. The people of Michigan are tired of excuses. They're tired of pizza boxes on the windows and quotes of "trust us," end quote, from officials who track records does not inspire confidence. All Michiganders should welcome efforts to strengthen election integrity, because preserving confidence in our elections is essential to preserving our constitutional republic. When voters trust the process, they trust the outcome. And that confidence is the foundation of our self-government. State Senator Jim Runstead is the chair of the Michigan Republican Party and a longtime advocate for election integrity and government accountability. One thing you have to understand, folks. Arizona, 2022, just 4 years ago, Katie Hobbs and Jocelyn Benson both went to college on money from George Soros. Documented fact, look it up. The George Soros Foundation paid for their college education. George Soros helped his children that he educated to become secretaries of state. Jocelyn Benson here in Michigan, Katie Hobbs in Arizona. Katie Hobbs overseen the Arizona election of 2022 when she was running for governor. She beat Carrie Lake, the very attractive news reporter that Donald Trump endorsed. Benson's using the same exact same mode of operandi this year in Michigan. She's got to be stopped. These poll challengers is a good start. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.